Sahasranam,
Sahasranam,
of thousands. Sahasranam,
Sahasranam,
a thousand.
Arata,
without being defeated.
Ojasaha,
your power.
Goman,
of this world.
Bhakshyata,
you will enjoy.
Bhogan,
enjoyments.
Vai,
certainly.
Divyan,
of the heavenly world.
Cha,
also.
Anugrahat,
by mercy.
Mama,
my.
Translation.
The Lord then blessed all the Prajetas, saying, my dear princess, by my mercy, you can enjoy all the facilities of this world as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrance and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. Purport. The duration of life prescribed for the Prajetas by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is calculated by the time measurements of higher planetary systems. Our 6 Earth months are said to equal 12 hours in the higher planetary systems. Mm-hmm. 30 days equal 1 month and 12 months equal 1 year. In this way, for 1,000,000 years, according to the calculations of the higher planetary system, the Prajetas were allowed to enjoy all kinds of material facilities. Although the lifespan was so long, the Prajetas were given full bodily strength by the grace of the Lord. In the material world, if one wants to live for many years, he must endure the difficulties of old age, invalidity, and many other miserable conditions. The Prajetas, however, were given full bodily strength to enjoy material facilities. This special facility was given to the Prajetas so that they would continue rendering full devotional service. This will be explained in the following verse.
Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskajari Shatadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadeta Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sorry, I'm just looking for one particular reference. Here it is. All right. Apritak dharma shilanam sarvisham va samudyama apritak dharma shilayam bhuyat patyarpitashaya. that was yesterday's verse. It was a verse where the Prachetas were married to a very qualified girl. I want to read this again so that the verse here becomes clearer. You brothers are all of the same nature, being devotees and obedient sons of your father. Similarly, that girl is also of the same type and is dedicated to all of you. Thus, both the girl and you, the sons of Prachina Parishad, are on the same platform, being united on a common principle. The Lord then blessed all the Prachetas, this is today's verse, saying, my dear princess, by my mercy, you can enjoy all the facilities of this world, as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrance and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. In this and also other verses of the Srimad Bhagavata, a rather rarely discussed subject is opened for our understanding, and that is that a devotee can enjoy. Yes, you have heard it properly. A devotee can enjoy. Here the Prachetas, after long austerities, were married to a very qualified girl who was the daughter of Pram Lochan, a heavenly society girl and an ascetic saint called Kandu. And they were given, marriage was arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who blessed the Prachetas with both material and spiritual enjoyment. They apparently were given one elixir against old age. You might have heard that in the Ayurveda Vedic treatment, they promise always a tonic. If you eat that, you will be always strong, huh? Not become old and invalid. The Prachetas, I'm not saying they took an Ayurvedic tonic, because mostly all of the descriptions there are given on the label just to sell the medicine. They don't really keep their promises, these labels, these etiketten. But here the Prachetas were actually given the thing that is free from old age in order to simply enjoy and be strong. Krishna had arranged that also at a different time with different devotees. You might remember that in Krishna's capital city, Dwaraka, there was an assembly house in which the meetings would take place, the meetings of the Yadus. And this assembly house spread such a special atmosphere that anyone who entered it didn't have to feel old age. And more than that, anyone who was in there didn't feel the miseries of material life. Now, some of us just have survived the 2 days meetings of the regional council and the national council and the preaching council and the, what else, communication council, and we feel almost bereft of all energy to think and act because it was so strenuous. From early morning to late in the night, there were discussions about how to help our devotees increase their devotional service and how to arrange for that. And that's not always so easy to take away all the obstacles to that. So if we would just have done those meetings in the Sudama Assembly House, where no misery of the body and the mind and from other living entities could have been felt, oh, we would be like a young man jumping out of the house. So Krishna supplied this facility to his devotees. There are also examples of marriage life where Krishna arranged such a thing, like in the case of the glorious marriage of Kadama Muni with Devahuti. Devahuti, no, Kadama Muni, let us start here, was an ascetic and a great devotee living in the forests, a life filled with tapasya. He was so dear to the Lord because of having performed devotional service that the Lord cried tears of sympathy for his devotee. Imagine, he felt so pleased that the tears rolled down his cheeks and touched our earthly planet and purified it. And he one day approached the Lord, Kadama Muni, and said, "My dear devotee, I want you to marry." And he had arranged the marriage already, because Svayambhuva Manu, a great saintly king, felt the inspiration by the Lord within his heart to give his beloved daughter and highly qualified daughter Devahuti to Kadama Muni. See, it was Krishna in the heart inspired him. He just felt, "I must do this." He had a dream. I must do this. So Devahuti, even measuring her by standards which are known to the Western world, was a very extraordinary lady. And not only in devotional qualities, but also in others. It is described that when Vishvasu overflew her palace once in his spacecraft, as Madhavendra Puri Prabhu would say, his Viman, an extraordinary thing happened with his self-control. At that time, the young princesses were more or less kept away from the ordinary people. They had their girlfriends and their servants. Male servants used to be eunuchs, so that nothing happened, because they were so extraordinary beautiful. So they were playing not with the ordinary people, and not also even within the court of the palace where different people could see them, but they were playing on the top of these roofs of the palaces, which were like beautiful gardens. I once, it was during Braj Mandal Parikram, visited one of these opulent palaces, and you can't imagine what great labor went into constructing the roofs of the palace into gardens of enjoyment. There was a staircase for elephants to come up there for different parades, and there was a swimming bassin which used to spray different colored water. You know, there was the water here, and then the spray things, what is it called, the düsen, not in English, but from where the water would spray out, and then they would spray different colors waters above the swimmers, you could swim. Different colored waters coming all over you. It must have been very nice to swim like this. And there were different stages for theater performance and so on and so forth. I even saw a palace where the sleeping rooms were arranged in such a way, imagine, that the western breeze would have to pass over a flower garden and carry the aroma of the flower gardens into the sleeping rooms, so that when you would sleep, you would get an aromatherapy, a very pleasurable experience, certainly. You would wake up strengthened in body, mind, and so on. So Devahuti was from such a royal background. Once she played on that roof garden, and Vishvasu came with his spacecraft. When he just saw the princess from even a distance, he was so struck by the womanly charm of her that he just fell from his airplane. Sehr peinlich. Very awkward situation. So this was Devahuti, and Lord Vishnu, same thing, had arranged this marriage with this ascetic. So he wanted to his devotee, Kadarma, to get a nice mataji. Devahuti came to him. She immediately took up the life of Kadama Muni. She didn't impose or demand that this royal life would go on. And it was a wonderful, a glorious marriage which produced as a result of where the Lord himself chose to appear because he was so satisfied with these two personalities. So we could give many other examples, but we want to just restrict it to these three. That is the prachetas, who were given full bodily strength so that they didn't have to suffer from invalidity. The yadus, who were protected by the Lord's own hands and were given use of the Sudama assembly house. And Kadama Muni, who married the highly qualified Devahuti. So all these and many more are examples how the Lord arranges for his devotees to enjoy even material facilities. I was meditating a little bit about this point when we went to Serbia last time. As you know, there is a great shortage of benzene and also of many other things, even vegetables at times and so on. And many people suffer from this very much. But when we were there, as far as we were concerned, we kept on eating like kings. There was all vegetables, cheese, olives, everything, schlagom, cream was there, everything. Isn't it, Bhakta Uwe? Everything. I thought my plate was becoming bigger because sometimes there were two plates even. And I asked if the devotees are also nicely taking prasadam, and they smiled and said, no problem. And even benzene, which really was a rarity, you could really see like 14 kilometers of people. And if you would ask them how long they were standing in line, they said, 3 days, 1 week, you know, like this. But we, without problem, were driving here and there. And I was just thinking, how is it possible that we always enjoy, apparently, the whole world suffers, but we find everything. And a purport of Srila Prabhupada came to a mind. It is, if the devotee wants to perform devotional service, then he is given all the facilities. However, if you want to grab the facilities for your own enjoyment, everything becomes so problematic. One just seems to fight against an unending series of obstacles. See, this is the whole difference between material and spiritual life. A materialist will try to bring the senses in contact with the sense objects for enjoyment. The Bhagavad Gita says, yehi sansparshaya bhoga. Then he said, Krishna says, dukha jonaya eva cha. A wise man is no longer engaging in this kind of foolish fight, struggle for existence. That means to become happy independent of devotional service to the Lord. Because such pleasures always have a beginning and an end. They are something which you obtain by intense struggle. Even a position in devotional service, or even a service in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness, or even when, if you want to have a husband or a wife. I'm just saying this because it seems to become so prominent in the minds of devotees, this this subject matter. Anything which you struggle for without having done this in Krishna consciousness becomes just a cause of burden. You may even, for instance, I have heard recent cases where devotees married and find out that the wife they married was not really, they didn't really fit together, or they found out something else about the wife which was very disturbing, or any other thing. You want a car and you buy the wrong car and so on. Things like this, or grievous mistakes which one makes, or great unhappiness which one begins to feel in situations. There are many things which happen. Now this is a typical sign that maybe something in your Krishna consciousness needs improvement. Because as we hear from these examples, Krishna is interested to give his devotees facilities, but only if the devotee wants to utilize that 100% in devotional service. Here we want to give a very illuminating point of knowledge, which if you hear and look at it, becomes quite enlightening even. It's about money. I don't say Lakshmi, I'm saying money here, as you have noticed. So there is the description in two places of the Bhagavatam about money and earning of money. And it says there that if one doesn't engage it in Krishna's service. The money becomes a source of lamentation, of bewilderment, of attachment, of great distress, and so on and so forth. And when I heard this, I was just thinking of the Ramayana and Ravana, who lived a very materially a very successful life. Now, it is described even that his town Lanka, I heard this in one of the Puranas, his town Lanka was so sophisticated it would hover over the earth. It was not resting on the earth. It was like a huge hovercraft, if you also want. Hovercraft only hovers away when there is much speed, but it seemed to just hover. It was a very materially perfect town. He had everything in the world. I mean, if you look at his life, he even knew Vedic scriptures. When he chanted his mantras during a fire sacrifice, Agni and Svaha felt compelled to appear. Can you imagine this? The devatas, he could force the devatas to become his servants. He was, but then he did this mistake. This is how his wife Mandodari complained. You had everything, but then why did you have to steal Sita? So that everything turned into misery for you. Now, someone who is not fixed in Krishna consciousness will eventually do this mistake. He will try to take the Lord's property and enjoy it, and then, boom, you know the end of Ravana. It was very tragic. Even Rama, at one stage, just felt so sorry for this demon. He just felt so much compassion because he was learned, he was intelligent, he looked good. He also gave donations. You know, then Ram felt so compassionate that many devotees don't know this. You know, there was this time on the battlefield where Ravan came out of his palace. He just had heard that his son Indrajit had been killed by Lakshman. This was his son. Do you know what it means if someone kills your son? No one knows here because you don't have sons. No one killed them. He just went out of the battlefield and he just cried and he just, "Where are you?" Just began slaughtering, and then he met Ram, and then he looked at Ram, he thought, he is the cause of all this. And then they had a fight, and in the fight, Ram just took away all his bows. He just smashed the bows, the chariot, everything to pieces. And then he aimed his sharpened arrows at the armor, the rustum, and he took away all the armor. And then Ram said, "Go home and rest in peace." He just said, "Goodbye. You are permitted. Tomorrow I want to see you again on the battlefield." He just couldn't, it just broke his heart to just kill this person who was so qualified in many aspects. Then the next day Ravan came, and then he looked at Ram. He saw how Ram was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He saw him standing with a bow like this, leaning on the bow, much like Krishna leans on his, you know, when he plays the flute, he doesn't want to get a lame, his devotees think You know, let us give him some support, because if you always hold it like this, and so heavy, you know, the arm gets heavy. So just like Ram leave there with the most beautiful, attractive smile, and he saw that he's God. Raman saw that he's God. For a moment, he understood. But then, of course, he said, no, I want to get Sita. You know, and this rascal Ram, you know, and then he was killed by Lord Ramachandra. Yes, but then you don't, the point is, he made the mistake to take what is the Lord's. And then, his end was so tragic. I mean, we are devotees. We are, in a way, we are happy. That, yeah, good. You know, Ravan, very good. Anyways, I don't want to side with the demons. It was good. Good. But just that, you know, the point that he was so qualified. And why couldn't he become a devotee? This is so tragic. No. He knew the Vedas. He saw Ram. He knew that Ram is God. Why didn't he just surrender? This is a question which is so moving. So in this way, a lesson is given to all of us. We start to look for our own enjoyment and make plans independent of devotional service to Krishna, whatever we try to arrange will not be to our best. In fact, it will be an obstacle on our way back home, back to Godhead. An obstacle which might cost us 10, 20 years, even, or just a week or 2 weeks, depending on how large our commitment becomes to the facility which we want to enjoy or which we want to build. This is a lesson which we have to take in our lives. I want to end my lecture this morning by bringing an interesting point to your attention, which I feel can help all of us to appreciate Krishna consciousness and the unique chance which we have obtained in Krishna consciousness, and the need to surrender our lives, which after all is not a small affair. It is something we have to work at during our whole bodily existence. Now use your imaginary facilities which are given to you by God, by the good Lord. Please imagine a person, a normal person, like we all know, most probably like we are. He goes to a place, and next morning, he wakes up. He goes to a place, let us say a festival, like a circus or some kind of cultural festival, music festival. After the festival, he goes and sleeps, yeah, in the forest to have some peace. It could be a story like in our days before we came to Krishna consciousness. I know many of you were traveling frequently and going to interesting festivals and so on. So one wakes up and one has forgotten who he is. Looks at the sleeping bag. Never saw the sleeping bag in my whole life. What was my life? How did I get into this forest? What was yesterday?
can't remember really. What happened in the night? Everything is so wet here. My sleeping bag is totally soaked in water. Also eingeweicht in Wasser. So then this person would get up from his sleep, he's already awakened, but he would get up from his Nachtlager, his sleeping place. He would forget to roll his sleeping bag and take it with him, because he just has no remembrance of anything. And he would come to the festival site. By chance, his ways would, not by remembrance, I came from this way, he would come there. And nothing, what are the people doing here? What are they doing? Why did they come here? Why so many people? And there are these people, they are looking at me. And their eyes are full with joy. And they wave to me. Oh, what do they want to? And they call me. And, I think I should go there. And then the people would say, finally you're back. We have looked for you in the evening. We heard from someone that you went into this forest. And went to sleep. We were worried that something would happen. Yes. Well, you don't recognize us? No. No. I think I know you. You would say. Because you understand. Well, it seems these people know me, and if I want to. I don't know anything now, where to go, what to do, or who I am. It's also disorientating. And you would find out one of them would be Klaus, and he, the name wouldn't bring. Anyways, I don't want to. I think you all have the idea, yes? So these people would bring you to your old people. There would be a person looking with you, very affectionate, with affectionate eyes. You would have no idea who he or she is. And you would find out, well, it seems she was my girlfriend or my boyfriend. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to think. And slowly, you would come back in your old ways, because they would tell you your girlfriend, you would have, or your boyfriend, you would have told, well, I lost all my memory when I was in this dark forest in the night. She would say, really? Well, let us go in the dark room. Maybe I can give you your memory back. And material life. And they would bring you. She would say, let us go to your parents. Maybe something comes up, then you will go, no idea who these people are, and they say, you have to work, you have to go to finish the university, and then go to the army, and you would say, what are they talking about? And you would, you meet your boss at work, and he would say, come on, behave normally, and you would just go away, because you had no relationship, you had no attachments to your old ways. And so on and so forth. If you would be clever at that time, you would start a new life. You would most probably, hopefully meet the devotees, and they would give you a new life. So I wanted to just bring this point to your attention. We are all like these people. We have come from somewhere we don't know, our last life. We forgot everything in the night of the womb of our mother. And we have been, we have come out of that. And now, some say they are our parents, our friends, our this and our that. But is this really to be taken serious? If the life, the new life which we have taken up 25 years or 40 years ago, is that really something to be taken serious? Just like this boy who has forgotten everything and who then gets trained up in another into anew. Is this really serious? Of course not. A devotee in Krishna consciousness must understand this point, that anything else except his true spiritual identity and his activities in relationship to Krishna is just one of the many, many, many illusory existences which we have led. So then why try to, then why make the mistake of Ravana, the classical mistake of tragic life? Why not take fully to devotional service, to a new life? In Krishna consciousness, when you were joining, did you remember how you felt like waking up from a dream of your past life? Isn't it? I remember when Bhaktadeyan, father is a military man, I believe, and you were working in a Sapsky Muzitskia scholar, that is a music school, learning. Now when a devotee comes to Krishna consciousness, it's all, he can see that what he learned, these roles he learned to play, are just a burden to his existence, are just very bad, and they are not really interesting. Just like our man who wakes up after the dark night, he understands, ooh, what this I used to do, this I used to be, I can't really see any relationship to me. And then, when a devotee understands this, when he comes to Krishna consciousness, he wants to forget all this. I don't need no passport, I don't need no education, I don't need no, you know, this and that and so on. I only need you, O Krishna. isn't it? This is what we feel, isn't it? This is a very healthy feeling. Just like the boy, we want to forget, it's almost forgotten. There's some little dream still of our past. So, but when we come to Krishna consciousness, we should be very, very careful to not start anew with a new life of illusion. I want to just give you, I'm sorry I don't have the shloka with me, but Mother Yashoda once said such a beautiful shloka. Anyone who is interested in this shloka should really, I can give it to you, right? It's upstairs in the 10th canto. I know exactly where to look for it because I've written it down. She just says, when she sees Krishna revealing himself in the universal form, oh, under illusion I thought I was this, I was that, and I was this, and these are my household, and so on and so forth. But now I understand that my Dragi Gaspadin, my dear Lord, you are really all that is. she understood that. So, please, if you want to read the shloka, I will give it to whom? I will give it to Tribhanga. You can please take it from Tribhanga. That makes it easier for all of you. Or he can even post it, maybe, on the notice board. That's the best. Then everyone, when he comes up and looks at the notice board, can look at this interesting shloka. A very interesting shloka. And Yashoda, she said that. She understood that the Lord is really everything. So we should also, in our devotional life, think about this point very deeply. We should not be so enthusiastic to define our existence, you know, by making us the center of our attention, but by making Krishna the center of our attention and our life. Once we do so, Krishna is prepared to give us all facilities. Look, for instance, at the bus program devotees. They have the most elegant bus in the universe, driving almost 100 kilometers an hour, isn't it? 105. Ooh. With the most beautiful deities. And when you look at this party, it's on the spontaneous platform already. It's just so blissful. One can... this is such an enjoyable life, bathing in the lakes of Germany, isn't it? Wrestling before resting, eating wonderful prasadam. If you look at devotees who try to surrender their lives to a Krishna conscious mission, you see they are enjoying. They are enjoying. In my own life of devotional service, I must tell you, I'm getting so much. I'm dressed in the silk like a king. Look at this. Very expensive. Everything is there. Now I will go upstairs. There's a huge plate waiting. Most probably not, because later. Drawn something for your own life and Krishna consciousness out of these points which were raised this morning. I have also spoken to some of you individually about this point. I thought it is good for all the devotees to think about it. This text is actually, indeed you can enjoy all the facilities of this world without hindrance. Prabhupada says, the prachetas were given full bodily strength to enjoy material facilities. This special facility was given to the prachetas so that they could continue rendering full devotional service. This will be explained in the following verse. So all of you should come tomorrow morning back and hear the following verse. There will be must be very interesting. 4:30-18. Okay, I will also read it. Hare Krishna, let us end here. Are there any questions to this? Jochen.
So how can I transform those points in practice? So in my case, my problem is I have to make plans how to maintain my family.
Yeah.
And my thought is, I know this, but how can I change this?
Well, there is a very interesting method which I was discussing yesterday on the way to Wiesbaden with Madhavendra Puri. If you get up early in the morning and change your rounds very concentrated, all the problems will evaporate, verdunsten. Just like water verdunsted, evaporates when the sun shines. So instead of trying to solve the problems by, you know, just approaching one problem, a financial program, that this financial problem has many different aspects. Where to get the paintings, where to go, where is the car, with whom can I go, and so on. There are many things to be considered, or all other kinds of obstacles. Instead of trying to solve them one by one by one by one, try this method. It never works if we try to solve problems individually. It never works. Prabhupada gives the example of someone who wants to push his boat into the ocean and wants to wait until the waves stop coming on the ocean side, on the beach, because then it's easier. I'm from the ocean, not the ocean, the Ostsee. You know, that's something like an ocean, small ocean. And I know this very much. If you want to row, you really have to, in the first beginning, it's really a struggle if there are waves. It's really a struggle. They go like, and you get all of, oh, you know, because so heavy for the stomach or for the belly, you know. So if you want to wait, you will never get into the ocean. You just have to do the tapasya, like an idiot, before you are out of the thing. This is how we usually approach our lives. We want to wait until the waves start rolling, or we want to take care of each wave individually. Hare Krishna. No, you can't wait for that. It won't appear. But you have to act something, you have to do something positive. Try this method. Get up early. Don't worry during that time. Try to chant and hear, visit the Mangal Arati, worship Krishna in the morning, early morning hours, and you will see it will disappear. It is mysterious. There is no material explanation why this happens. No psychologist or no Lebensberater, no seminar of how time organizing, you know, the self-management seminar can explain the dynamics of this principle. But it always works for a devotee who tries. You get also the strength to very easily do these things. We know from the preaching party, I have made practical experience from this. Life of a preacher is very strenuous. You know, the body goes, breaks into pieces after. You just go with me for 14 days and you will just have to sleep for 14 days without stop. It can be so strenuous at times. Whew. But it becomes very easy if you chant your rounds very concentrated and you have so much energy and everything, alles klappt beyond your boldest imaginations. This is a Krishna factor, the mystical factor. It's very mystical. Yeah, it's transcendent. Okay, so thank you for the nice question, Bhakti Jochen. This was really in the line of the thing. Let us end here. Hare Krishna.